The more you can put in templates, the more you can standardize, it puts less and less administrative burden on your entire team, your entire organization. And ideally, if you can systematize some of this by using some of the tools that are out there, it really does feed information in that, quite frankly, becomes that single source of truth because you provide a much more easily understandable piece of information.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Have you ever had a great idea, however, you couldn't get buy-in? Or as frustratingly, your idea was signed off, high fives all around, and it failed somewhere along the execution route because you lost support? Yes, sir. Yeah. Welcome to my world. You can tell by the color of my hair, I have been around a while, and I have both of those scenarios. And so what I'd love to do is share some lessons learned, but probably more importantly, give you a formula that we've created that can help improve your success of having much more of an end-to-end solution that turns into something great for everybody. I know they asked me to do this, and I'm going to skip right through it. Instead, just talk about how tough it is to get an idea bought off on and then execute it flawlessly. I'll give you the recipe for success, and in any recipe, there's some basic ingredients. I'll keep this very high level, and I'll start to drill down a little bit for you as we start talking. In this case, there's four basic ingredients. The first thing is this whole business plan. You've heard people talk about have a plan. I'll give you some more information here, but it's really putting meat on the bones of your idea. It's that simple. Now, there's a lot more inside there, but that's as simple as it gets. Secondly, you want to make sure that you're not just using data, but you have information, and I'm going to come back and differentiate what that means. You also want to set not KPIs and OKRs and all the other acronyms, but milestones that can measure your progress along the way. Don't just worry about the revenue. Don't just worry about the pipeline, but what are those leading and lagging indicators that you need to make sure you can measure your progress. This is as much about you defining your success instead of having others define your success for you. Third is making sure you have all the necessary stakeholders engaged. In fact, you're going to see a word further in presentation. You want them entangled, not just engaged, but entangled in what you're trying to accomplish so that they feel a sense of ownership and a sense of sharing in the success that you're trying to get across with your idea. And then last but not least is communication. How do you communicate on a regular basis in a way that people understand, that pertains to them so it's relevant, so they continue to want to be on the journey with you? If that all makes sense, let me take you down a level. Over on the business planning, this is where you now try to create that vision, that compelling vision that has people saying, sign me up, I want in. Not only do I want in, but I want to participate, and I want to participate fully. You want them to make sure that this is as exciting, as compelling, and as necessary for them to be successful in their area of the business as it is for you. So there's, of course, the quantitative measurements, but there's also that qualitative set of information that gets them on board with you. I call this data management, but as I said before, what you're really trying to do is create a single source of truth so that you're not getting the old, well, my numbers say this and your numbers say that. Instead, there's this one single source of truth that you're all working from. You also want to make sure, though, that it's not just data, but it's information that is relevant to your audience. And we'll talk about your stakeholders and audience in a minute, but to each of those members so that they can digest it and determine that is exactly what they need for their success. And then the other key part of this is it's not just information, but it's immediately actionable. You get too much data, too much information, but if you can't do something with it that's going to create a result, it really isn't that useful. I talked about making sure you have your stakeholders entangled. I'm going to show you the process and the way to manage it, but what you want to do is make sure that they are informed and on board all the way along, and that along the path, you ensure that not only are they getting what they need, but you're getting what you need. And I was at a company recently where the CEO was maniacally focused on heat maps and data to the point where his level of inspection sure got a lot of information in front of all the decision makers and the individuals who had to execute. But it was so negative because you felt like you were constantly under that magnifying glass. So you need to balance inspection and data with inspiration, how it's going to help individuals and teams be successful. Last point here, those of you who've worked with Microsoft in the past may recognize rhythm of the business. It's that cadence you use to manage your process, to make sure that the milestones are being met, the information's being communicated, actions are being taken, and results happen. So there really is a cadence that has to be implemented inside your process to ensure that you have control over that great idea you originally pitched that you're now responsible for delivery of. And then last but not least, as I said before, communication. It's a process. It's a process that uses data, especially to mitigate some of the anecdotes that you hear. And we're talking about partners and direct sales, and I think the individual that asked the question left. But so often you're going to hear about a partner who messed up this situation or a partner who didn't respond in time. Yeah, that's going to happen. But if you have data that can show that X percent of the time you're delivering on what the partners are supposed to do, that starts to mitigate this anecdote battle that you might get yourself into. One more point here. This communication is up, down, and across. So many individuals are great at selling up, and they forget that in order to make this truly successful, you need the entire organization and team on board. That sets both an understanding that you're watching what's going on, but also that you're listening from all the different stakeholders you have. So now let me give you one more high-level view of this. This can be used not just for partnerships, and I'm going to actually drill down to something we've done for a global partner leader. But it starts off with stakeholder alignment, exactly as it says there. Here's the key. Make sure you've identified all stakeholders, not just your boss or your boss's boss or the VP over there, but all stakeholders you need to make sure that you're going to be successful in driving your idea. I'll give you specific examples on the next slide. That then allows you to take that idea you have, that whole go-to-market strategy, lay out your strategy and priorities, and start to define the information you require from sales ops, rev ops, finance, whomever else you need to populate that for you and create management dashboards. Underline the S, because you need different dashboards for different individuals in different parts of the company. That gives you the ability now to start doing stakeholder engagement. And I'm going to flip right over to the far right over here. Do the reviews that you're used to. MBRs, QBRs, annual reviews, executive leadership team reviews. The key here is to put as many templates in place as possible so that you don't have to recreate the wheel every month, every quarter, every 6 months. Ideally, you get sales ops, Salesforce, automation to provide that for you. But if you have a template, now you can start setting expectations as to information you need, information you're going to communicate, and information that's going to be acted upon. So behind all of this, there's a whole bunch of other details, but templates are critical to make this as effective as possible for you to both standardize, systemize, and make as productive as possible. And then once you've got that process going, now you start going on the assessment, and it's the closed loop. You go back to your stakeholders and say, last quarter, I told you that this is what we were going to do. Here's our results. Here's what's worked. Here's what didn't work. Here's what I need from you. What do you need from me? And that's that whole communication process where you keep those stakeholders entangled. This one, next slide is going to be a lot more detail for you. This is for a specific client. You can see on the far left on the business planning, we talked to finance to understand what the funds were that were available for market development funds, for marketing, for headcount, for all the different operating expenses that the partner organization needed to work on. So now at least we had the parameters as to what we could spend. A lot of details underneath there. Talk to the product organizations or the business units. to see if the products were channel ready. For example, if you're working with managed service providers, do you have multi-tenant capabilities? If not, take that off the list because you're not going to be able to sell that to the managed service community. But that level of conversation is critical, partially for you to understand what you have to work with, but as importantly, to make sure you can set the priorities with each of those stakeholders as to what you can deliver. If they're expecting you to drive 25% growth and you don't have products that are channel ready and can be enabled with the partners, you've already got a big barrier. Raise that red flag now before you start going out creating channel programs, trying to spend money, trying to do recruiting and enablement. You're throwing good money after bad. You've got all these stakeholders' information. You make sure you then go back to them and tell them what your strategy is to help drive the numbers and the results that you're looking for. Don't worry about the milestones with them right now. You'll get back to that. You then spend time with your finance and ops people to make sure you can get all the information you need to drive the data to support what you're trying to accomplish. And back to templates. You create standard templates for working with your top partners, or as Eric Buck from Google was talking about today, those sustainable channel partners as well. How you're going to work with distribution differently than how you're going to work with some of your top partners. You start to differentiate the presentations, the materials, and the reviews so that they're standardized enough but customizable so you can have one-on-one conversations over here with your different stakeholders that are responsible on the execution side, whether it's your direct sales teams and getting ahead of your blocking in terms of the value the partner should provide and the quid pro quo, how they should behave in order to ensure that you can continue to win partner resources to work with them. With the partner teams, making sure that they have business plans with targets assigned that have been signed off by their partners so that, once again, you've got the ability to have that collaboration that you're looking for. And then regular executive reviews with the partners. This is going to be one of those leading indicators. If you cannot get your partner's execs to meet with your execs on a regular basis, that should be a warning sign to you. You're not relevant, you're not important, and you're probably going down the wrong path with them. So besides the fact that this all starts to play into a process, it also gives you a lot of information for you to understand how and when to change what you're doing. Because that gets back over here, all the reviews. External, who shows up for your external reviews? Do you have the CEO, the head of sales, head of marketing, etc., in your top partners? Or have they delegated to somebody who's not going to be able to make decisions and drive things forward for you? Red flag. On the other hand, if they know that every quarter, and you schedule these for the entire year, that you're going to be meeting with them, here are the topics we're covering. We're going to show you the leads that we've passed to you, leads that you've given us, revenue we booked, situations that we have had to escalate on, and success, then they'll come armed because they want to make sure that they're also putting their best foot forward. On the internal side, once again, templates, and you make sure on this stuff that you go all the way back to your stakeholders. Here's my strategy. Here's our successes. Here's where we're falling short. Here's what we need from you. Here's what you need from us. So it's that whole closed loop process. When you tie all this together, it actually starts to work. It may take a little bit of time for you to get people to buy in, for them to understand that these presentations and these reviews are invaluable, but it starts to differentiate you from your competitors when you're talking to your partners. It differentiates you from others inside your own organization because you have a documented plan with a cadence and communication plan that translates into success for all, not just you. Quick summary. Make sure you understand how your idea can be so compelling that the vision and the business plan attached to it is such that you want people begging to get on board with you, not reluctantly agreeing to meet with you. Secondly, the more you can put in templates, the more you can standardize, it puts less and less administrative burden on your entire team, your entire organization. And ideally, if you can systematize some of this by using some of the tools that are out there, it really does feed information in that, quite frankly, becomes that single source of truth because you provide a much more easily understandable piece of information than others may have. We've talked about the stakeholders' critical element, and it's both at the front end, making sure they love what you're saying you're going to do, but then on a quarterly basis, at a minimum, making sure you're reviewing with them what's going on. This really can change the entire game right there. And then we talked about measuring progress, not just the end result, but are you on plan, like when you're building a house? Have you got all the pieces in place before you put the roof on? Make sure you've got that kind of thinking as to how you architect your milestones. And it really is just measuring progress, not end results at that point. And then last but not least, again, communicate. So I've given you a few high-level comments. I'm happy to answer any questions because there's a lot behind this. We usually spend quite a bit of time educating our clients in getting their minds around changing the way they worked from how they've done it in the past. And so a quick 20 minutes to give you a high-level view. Happy to answer any questions.
You got me, again, thinking about a few different things. I wrote myself down a note and then make sure I follow up on. One of the things is QBRs. You hit a really good point. Yeah. Getting those scheduled year out, set the expectation. The partner learns, may not be used to those with some of their partners, or they do them very only with their most strategic partners. But it's important to do them with as many as possible, frankly, right? My question is kind of a very specific one. What happens if your team pushes back about that? I don't know why I should schedule a QBR. Yep. I'm going to wait till next quarter to do that. I need one more quarter. Let's wait till next quarter to do that. Some type of that type of response where the pushback's not from the partner. It's actually from the person that reports to you. What would you read into that if that were to happen?
I could read a lot into it. Because in fact, I think of this one specific individual who said, we didn't do that at HPE. And I remember saying, I'm sure you didn't, but we're going to do this at this company. I said, let me take the lead on this first QBR. Don't you worry about it. I'll put it all together. I'll manage this for you. And we created the slides. She sat in the room with the CEO, three of the sales VPs, the head of marketing, and I guess the individual who worried about partnerships with vendors. And I led the conversation. At the end of it, she said, I never have heard anything done like that before. I can't believe how open the execs were about talking. One of the keys was we didn't tell them, we shared with them. And what I mean by that is we showed them information. Let me tell you how you're doing. Let me show you. In fact, we gave them the top five competitors in the area at the time. Let me show you how they're doing on both margin as well as sales growth. So you don't give the name, it's company A, B, C, and D. And they got a lot of value from it. And then we said, here's our recommended actions. And so they didn't agree with all the actions, but we sure came to some actions that we did agree to. After that, she did a much better job than I ever could have done when I saw her on the next QBR. So I just went in just to make sure I was just involved as the executive in the room and never had to worry about her again. She saw the value, but she did push back. It's a lot of work. I've got a lot of other things to worry about, and I don't have the data. And so all those excuses popped up. We solved as much for it of those as possible, but it was leading by example. And by the way, even better, she was a leader, a thought leader amongst her peers. And then she could talk to others about, hey, this guy's not as crazy as he looks. Maybe he actually can get some stuff done for us. And this is what we should do.
Are really fond of it in terms of templates or anything?
The question was about standardized and templatized. I wish there was a set of tools that I could recommend to you. We had to build them ourselves. And then we just, I won't say replicate. We use them as a foundation, and then we start to customize based on the customers, because that one that you saw was for a security company. There was a data management company that had a whole different set of requirements. The changes really came around less around the standard information. It was much more around the types of partners they used. So some were much more heavily on GSIs and MSPs. Some were much more on the VAR reseller side. I haven't done it on a volume side, but it's always been much more of an enterprise side of things. But no, there's nothing. I wish there was a silver bullet for you.
The Cloud Software Association in the Slack channel and on some of the online directories have templates and things that you can access. Mm. Also, who has access is any of the sponsors or other members that are focused on partner building successful partner programs, a lot of that through software, but they have free content available too, even before you're a customer that you can access. And so those are maybe some of the different channels that you can access the templates and stuff.
See, I like his answer much better than mine.
What are some of the pitfalls to avoid when coming up with metrics or some sort of a framework?
Pitfalls in coming up with metrics in general, I'd say, first of all, don't make them overcomplicated. Secondly, can you actually get a consistent source of information? Because I can't think of anywhere I've ever worked where people have not complained about the quality of the data. We don't have that. We're never going to get that. So think through what is absolutely mandatory. There are mandatories, revenue or bookings, pipeline. The leading indicators are a little bit more objective. But once again, you need to figure out how much effort's going to be required to capture that information. Is it worth it? Number one. Number two, what are you going to do with it? If it's just nice to have, forget about it. You don't have that luxury. And I guess the only other thing I'd think about is on your stakeholders, what information do you need to make sure you have to drive optimum behavior and deliverables from them? And for example, some of the features that you may be hearing from partners or customers, nice to have as well, but not going to drive the move the needle for you. So keep it simple and ideally find sources that are already readily available. If not, have others commit to getting it for you. You do not want to put the burden back on your field and partner teams to capture it.
You mentioned the CEO and the heat maps and how to manage that personality. I think from a channel perspective, there's a lot of managing up and convincing throughout. And so what are some of the tools that you bring into those conversations when others are thinking maybe the channel's not adding value, or how do we go around it?
This gets back to, I think, the question on metrics, setting the ground rules up front. Here's the value that we need from the partners. Here's how we're going to measure that value. Here are the reports I'm going to provide you. And then ideally that should suffice. With this individual, nothing would suffice. But that being said, the area he got most focused on was pipeline in by district, right around the world. And so he would look every week at the pipeline generated by the partner ecosystem, by marketing and by sales themselves. And he would drill down to who was red, green, or yellow. If it was red, he would ask an awful lot of questions. We would put it back to the district manager, who really had the responsibility for driving both overall pipeline and revenue. The district manager would say, you're right, this week or this month, the channel didn't drive as many leads as I want, but let me show you the trend we've had. And so they're down this month. Let's not worry about it, because my bigger issue is I'm not getting enough customer interest. Here's the actions I'm taking. So it really does get down to making sure you set expectations up front, measure along the way, and ideally have your stakeholders, including your district managers or regional VPs, bought in to work with you on the partner side. So they look at it not silo by silo, but in totality.
When you mentioned communication, I really like that you said communicating up, down, and across just to get that buy-in from the organization. But I like that concept, and I just maybe wanted to know a best practice or anything that you recommend for making sure that you're not oversharing, but just sharing enough that everybody knows what to gain out of that initiative with your partners.
I think, once again, it gets back to the architecture of your plan. Lay out your strategy, your success metrics. Make sure they understand you're going to meet with them either weekly, monthly, quarterly. Here's the information we're going to bring to the table. Here's what we're going to ask you to bring as well. And so that way you can start to determine your point about oversharing or talking too much, as I am right now. But talking too much, you start to turn that into a dialogue. And ideally, after a while, you just start to focus on those areas that are immediately actionable that are required to drive the results you need, either the progress results or metrics or the longer term. It starts to find its way, because think about this one senior VP at product who he was just amazed that he was learning how partners worked and had no idea how important what he was doing was going to affect how we drove some partner business, and that we could have that open conversation where he actually learned something and taught us some stuff in the meantime as well. So it really is almost individual team, individual by individual that you start worrying about. And that's across For up, I'd say it's much more of the template and standard presentation. Highlight the key points. Don't give too much information, that's for sure. The more you give, the more you get questions on. Thank you very much for paying attention.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.